Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to Law Crimes. Hooray! Another week, another law crime to be done. Now, I've got to be honest, folks. Hal's not here today. I can't remember why. He did tell me.
He's dead.
Very well.
Starts with a G, ends with an E. Come on. We know why Hal's not here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he did tell me, and I didn't pay enough attention to remember. I'm sorry. But he's away. So today we had an impromptu, like, oh, we got to do an episode today. What is that? What are you
slop
chomping on, buddy? Slop. Ugh. Oh, it's gruel. Eli is eating the gruel.
It's cream. It's cream of wheat with protein powder.
Is that what they're calling it nowadays? I don't know. Gruel is gruel. Also, yes, I was the immature person who picked the title for this video, and I also appreciate how many immature comments there are in the stream, including "I love semen, I love semen, I love semen." Amazing. That was another one. So it's Andy that's the expert on semen. Huh? Personally, I would have pegged Colin or Eli for that. Wow. Very good stuff.
Right? Colin's holding down a fort right now, so don't worry about that.
So today we are covering the Imperial Navy, the Navis Imperialis. This is something that one particular viewer has been requesting ad nauseum. Like every other video or every video, there's a comment like Navy when, Navy when. So if we might as well do it today. But with that said, start with Colin. Colin, do you have much knowledge on the Imperial Navy? They're kind of not an obscure thing, but they're not as widespread knowledge as, say, Space Marines or other factions in humanity.
I've got an okay amount of knowledge on the Imperial Navy. I did make a video about them. I've played me some Battlefleet Gothic, not the tabletop, unfortunately. I have the worst curse a person in the tabletop games can possibly have, which is my friends only care about 5e. please kill me. I would like to play something other than 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, at least you're not playing the newest iteration, or are you?
That is, yeah, 5e is the current iteration of D&D.
Well, there's 5e, but now there's like D&D Beyond or something.
I think that's just a website.
That is a website. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Is there another...
There's like new character creations out. And it's poo, in my opinion. It's not. No. It's not
I haven't seen those.
But they took away all of the traits for different races, and you just kind of like make goop now.
You know that.
Whatever.
That I have not touched, but yeah. No. But for the Navy, you know, I've got a decent amount of knowledge. I feel, you know, an okay amount.
Okay, Eli, what about you?
I love the Pacific.
You're from the Segmentum Pacificus. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
I do really enjoy naval battles in 40K books. I've not studied the Navy, though. I just really like ship maneuvers and blowing things up. Space combat is so cool. It's so cool. Mm. It's literally all made up, and none of it is grounded in reality at all whatsoever, but it's still really cool. Also,
Go for it.
I've been given a request. Hal is getting his prostate checked. I received a message.
Wow.
I'm sending the message.
Wow. Wow. I will say, everyone going on about, oh, Dawn of War. Yeah, new Dawn of War. When are we going to get Battlefleet Gothic 3? Come on.
I need to play 1 and 2, bro. I started.
So do
one,
I.
Never got, like, I really want
to. I've never played them, and now I have a PC. I have to play them, but I'm just like, oh, it's cool. Admiral Spire.
I want to play Battlefleet Gothic on tabletop. That's what I want to do.
Isn't it strange that, like, you get these weird branching off ones that you got the, Aeronautica and Titanicus.
Aeronautica Imperialis. Brayden's obsessed with Aeronautica Imperialis.
Does anyone play them?
Brayden does. Brayden?
Yeah. Other than Brayden. Is it just drive? Like,
no,
just,
only Brayden, and when he forces his brother to play with him.
Yeah, it's Brayden with two armies, like, play. He just stands in the gaming place, like, take my army, play with me. But with that said, I'm going to helm this episode because it wasn't too long ago, I can't remember when it was, that I did a video on the Navis Imperialis. Maybe a year, I can't remember. It's been a while, but not too long. And I still remember, like, most of it. And there's been, like, a couple of little tidbits I've heard from, like, completely unrelated books or codexes which have fed back into this particular faction, because it's one of those interesting ones where most things in the setting for like the human army are connected to this faction, and yet it's not a limelight faction that gets as much, you know, as much insight as say like the Space Marines or even the Guard to an extent. But let's keep it simple to start with. So originally, back in the 30th millennium during the Great Crusade, there wasn't such a thing as a bespoke navy for the Imperium. It was just you had the Imperial Army, and the army was the navy and the guard combined. Because why would you just have bespoke things when you could just have them together? To the Imperium's credit, it was a really good start. You managed to get the entire galaxy basically under your thumb in a couple of years. The ships were originally made from Mars's Ring of Iron, where, you know, Mars is next to Earth, because we know Mars is in our solar system, Mechanica's homeworld. And eventually, as the Great Crusade expanded, we got new outposts in places like Vos, Cypramundi, Lorin, and the Saturnine Dominion, which is a weird kind of niche thing. The Saturnine Dominion are like the guys who made the armor and weapons for the Solar Auxilia. They're strange. They only exist really in 30K. There are these tech savants who aren't connected to the Mechanicus, aren't connected to the Imperium. They're a weird middle ground between the two. And they also had some help in starting off the Imperial fleet. And this was amazing for the beginning. They established different outposts across the galaxy, like Portmore. Portmore still exists. There are places like Footfall and all these like trading hubs, fleet hubs, places where you could be like, oh, we can dock 100 ships, 200 ships, refuel them, rearm them. I saw that eyebrow raise. I saw that, Eli. Get your mind out of the gutter. And there are all these like certain places where, oh, this was from the golden age of humanity. We'll have that back. This is an old Mechanicus outpost or Mechanicum outpost at the time. So we'll retrofit that and stuff. And for a while, the expansion of the Great Crusade was practically uncontested, because although spaceships have existed all the time, humanity now has space marines, which do a lot of good heavy lifting for like, oh, yeah, you can ferry machines and machines of war like tanks or space marines and stuff, blah, blah, blah. But now you have the space marines added to like the ground forces. Oh, it's much easier to like to take stuff. And with the beginning of the Horus Heresy, colonies, fleet anchorages, expedition fleets started to fragment. Welcome back, Colin. The human forces, although completely united under one rule of the Imperial Army, with the Horus Heresy beginning, they had to change allegiances. And bear in mind, like for example, right now I'm doing some Night House content on my shorts. There's a lot of stuff intertwined with the Night Houses and the Titan Legions, where obviously when Horus turned traitor, he had support from Kelvor Hal, the Fabricator General of Mars, who's the highest ranking Mechanicus guy. By the same virtue of people turned traitor because they were like, the guy in charge turned traitor, I guess I should be a traitor too. The same happened with a lot of the fleets of the Imperium, because Mechanicum makes ships. We are part of Mechanicum kinda, I guess. Also, I kind of like Horus. He's a neat guy. He's kind of cool. And some of them, kind of like the Black Shields of the Astartes, went, screw both of you, I'm going to be a pirate. I am a pirate. Har, har, fiddle-dee-dee, heresy is not for me. Like, that's what they said. And
you made that up on the spot?
I did. I'm very clever.
That was pretty solid.
Thank you. Full cover, never. That would be funny. But with the end of the Horus Heresy, the Imperial Army was broken apart, because a lot of people know about the Codex Astartes. A lot of people know about Robute Gilliman going, hey, having 100,000, like, juiced up soups. Space Marines. We know our duty and we will do it. He knew that having 100,000 juiced up super soldiers was probably not a great idea, because if the person in charge of those soldiers turns traitor, that's 100,000 extra traitors added to the pile. If you split them up into 1,000 chapter chunks, if a chapter master turns feral, it's not as bad, unless you're Huron Blackheart, and no, then it's still kind of a problem. Although technically he cheated, he did have more than 1,000 space marines. That's beside the point. The point is, likewise, having all mortal soldiers in the Imperial army as just like a big amorphous blob is also a bad idea. And so Robute Gilliman also said, let's split the army into the Navy and the Guard. And here's something that was kind of something I didn't realize until, again, I was listening to Our Martyred Lady, which is all a plot about how the Ecclesiarchy is trying to reform the kind of army, which isn't the sororitas. This is like men at arms. And the whole plot is about Sinch just like, I'm going to corrupt the guy in charge of the Ecclesiarchy to get I keep thinking Chambers Militant, the Fraternus Militia. We're going to get them back in the fold so I can sow chaos within the Imperium and use the Emperor's faith against him. And in that book, there's a mention of, the Ecclesiarchy and the Guard can't go anywhere without the sanction of the Navy. Like, Imperial Army regiments do not have any ships. The Navy does. So as a failsafe, you can't deploy an entire Cadian regiment or Vestroian regiment or Catachans or whatever unless you have the Navy in tow with the ships to move them, which I thought was like a neat thing that I didn't realize at first. Like, the Ecclesiarchy can't just go around wherever they want. They need to have like support from the Navy. And this kind of works well because if ever a regiment, like, for example, what they call the Mobian Six from Darktide, if ever they go traitor, you can keep them on one planet. It's like, you want to get off world? Well, the Navy's got to be involved. You're going to try and like, hey guys, sorry, I smell like poo, but don't worry about that. I'm totally loyal to the Imperium. Worry about it. Like, nah, I don't know. So the Navy is very important. And it's worth remembering that as powerful as a Space Marine is, a Space Marine can't fire a Nova cannon. Like, a Space Marine could kill 1,000 people wholesale, gradually, one at a time. Or a guy in a ship could just be like, button.
Funny button. Let's fire at will.
Button. And then it's like... so then you don't mess with the Navy. They're kind of scary in that regard.
They can also just decide, we will not be transporting your troops off planet. Go fuck yourself.
Mm. Mm. And then if you give them too much lip, they're like, sorry, is that the exterminatus button under my palm? It's so tempting. I'm gonna press the big red button. But the interesting thing as well, that they are freed. An advantage they have after the Horus Heresy is they're freed from the Guard's bureaucracy. So like, hey, screw these guys. We can do what we want. We don't have to worry about some stodgy, general telling us what to do. But at the same time, the caveat is there's friction between the Guard and the Navy. And so whenever there's like a High Lord of Terror meeting where it's who gets the most stuff, the two are always bickering, going, well, I want this for my ships. Well, I have guards. I need food. Oh, screw your food. I need Nova cannons. Screw your Nova cannons. I need fuel for my tanks. Well, actually, I need fuel for my ships. And it's always
a bit of a... always resulted well throughout all of human history when the army and the Navy are at odds with each other.
Yes.
I love the history of every plane built by the United States since like 1940.
Yeah, like the stealth craft, the one that's very angular, and like, we've got to dock this and refuel it, so we'll need ships. And then the Navy are like, we're not putting that on one of our carriers. That's dangerous. Oh, it's got bombs on it. Between the two. But it's worth remembering that broad strokes, there are five segmentums of the galaxy. You got Solar, which is where Earth is and the surrounding area. And then you've got Obscurus, Pacificus, Tempestus, and Ultima. Guess who lives in Ultima? Each segmentum, the Ultramarines, each segmentum has a big fortress. So for example, these fortresses are usually stationed on or around a particular planet. So Segmentum Solar, it's Mars. It's where the Mechanicus live. Kind of makes sense. Obscurus, it's Cypramundi. Pacificus, it's Hydrofer. Ultima, it's Car Duniash. And Tempestus, it's Baka, which is funny because in Japanese, Baka means idiot. Silly, I always Baka. Find that funny.
Silly
Baka.
I always love looking at the Segmentum maps because obviously, aside from Ultima, they try and make the other four look like they're roughly equal in scale. but like if you look at the galaxy, like Ultima Segmentum is clearly like 50% of it on its own.
Yeah.
And then they make Segmentum Pacific. I mean, granted, you know, these are all like galaxy spanning organizations. I get it. But like Segmentum Pacificus is like 10 stars and a, like, you know, half a planet.
Well, the only thing is, though, like Ultima is massive, but it's also really far away from Terra. And the problem is, the further you are from Terra, the more there are chaos uprisings. There's less resources. It's more difficult to communicate. Supply lines are more stretched. So the problem is, like, all of the Segmentums, other than Solar, for the most part, have vast swathes where it's like dead planet, dead star system, dead. This orcs. Place is full of chaos. We blew it up. This place is full of orcs. This place is too far away to supply. This one we lost communications with and ignored. So, like, that's kind of what we're dealing with.
No, but yeah, it's just always funny looking at the map. It's like, bro, please just give, like, Segmentum Obscurus, like, another centimeter on the map or in space, bro, please.
Navy guys are like, no, we're stretched thin as it is. Don't give us more terrain, please. Please.
Dude, God.
Give Ultramar more. Go on. Screw those guys. They got the Ultramarines. They got named characters.
Bottom five jobs in the Imperial Navy being the guy who has to figure out, like, troop movements in Segmentum Ultima. Like,
We will get there. But for now, each fortress has a master of the administratum to help organize, like you were saying, organize troop actions, resources, supplies, etc. Because you kind of need the administratum because they have all the stuff. And each fleet is led by a Lord Admiral. There's five in total. But the Lords, the fleet master of the Solar Segmentum is always the highest ranking because Terra, the throne world, Earth, lives in Segmentum Solar. So whoever's in charge of it is like, I can sacrifice the other four if needs be, because the Emperor lives on Terra and I'm in charge. Shut your mouth. I'm in charge. He also tends to be a High Lord of Terra because of this. So Fleet Solar is also the best fleet there is because it has to be the elite in order to protect the throne world. But every Segmentum is broken up into eight subsectors, which usually is about 8 million cubic light years in size, which is big. And then every one of those subsectors, each of those eight, is divided into myriad different subsectors. And I just want to, like, mention a thing. I saw a short on YouTube, so you know it's true.
Indeed.
British scientist Brian Cox. He's like, hello, I'm Brian Cox. I've got a lovely, nice, calm voice, and I talk about science. He did an interview, and this is a clip from it, where he's talking about how the known universe that we can see has about 2 trillion galaxies in it.
Sheesh.
In a single galaxy, you've got about 400 billion stars. So that's 400 billion suns, each with probably a few planets at least. Uh-huh. Kind of like endless space. So if we consider the Milky Way as having 400 billion stars, that's a lot of stars, which means we've probably got like a trillion planets as a conservative guess. That's a lot of planets. So a trillion planets divided by five is still 200 billion stars. So that's probably still like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Now, most of those are, you know, like dead nothing planets you don't got to worry about. But even then, still a lot of planets.
It's a lot. And so with that in mind, the Navy goes, okay, yes, we've got a Segmentum. Yes, we've broken that into subsectors. Yes, we've broken that into subsectors. We also have small battle fleets that are petitioned from those subsectors to patrol across the subsector in, like, usually anywhere from two to, like, I think it's like a couple of cruisers. And if they spot something dangerous, they hail the other ships and they all convene around that patrol and they bring their full might to counter whatever the threat is. Every smaller battle fleet is commanded by a Lord Admiral, but each battle fleet is broken into usually two battle groups, and a battle group usually patrols 2 to 8 subsectors. Are you keeping up? It's very complicated. But every battle fleet, roughly speaking, is anywhere from 50 to 70 cruisers or battleships. And bear in mind, these are the largest ships you can get. This isn't accounting for smaller vessels or escort cruisers. So like 50 big old ships minimum, enough to probably kill like an entire star system on their own in like a couple of days. So like pretty substantial. Hmm. But each of these battle fleets is responsible for, you know, transporting regiments to specific planets, supporting space marine encounters with incursions of Chaos or Xenos. We're talking about transporting goods and merchant fleets. We're talking about protecting explorator fleets. And generally speaking, every battle fleet has two cruisers and a bunch of escorts. But on occasion, several battle fleets, so several bunches of 50 to 75 big ships with a lot of other ships, will combine to maybe 100, 200 and something ships, big ones anyway, into bastion fleets. And the bastion fleet adopts a name. So you have, for example, Battlefleet Gothic, Battlefleet Cadia, Battlefleet Corona, Agrippina, or Armageddon. And if you like Hell's Reach, High Marshal Helbrecht was in command of Battlefleet Armageddon, or Bastion Armageddon. He's from the Black Templars. He's like the best naval Astartes there is. So he was probably in charge of about 200 massive ships, maybe a couple of thousand escorts, etc., to stave off the orcs during the biggest incursion orcs have ever done on humanity. So for example, Battlefleet Armageddon specifically, he's got 4 battleships, 27 cruisers, and 36 escorts, but then there's like a wider amount of them in that battlefield as they started to pull their resources. But due to the distance from Terra, the battle fleets such as Obscurus have the worst time because they often are equipped with the most outdated ships available, and they have to requisition from already battered reserve fleets or shipyards that are housing like, hey, we've got this hot off the press ship from 2000 years ago. None of the guns on the front work and it's got holes in it. You're like, thanks. We're Fleet Obscurus. It sucks. And that's kind of the overview of the fleets in general. But I think it's time we did some donations before I talked about the different ships. And because I've been yapping for a while, would you guys like to do the donations for this one?
Sure. I would. I know at least one of them is aimed at me, so.
We've got a couple from Donkey Man Stop.
Go for it. Oh. You got to press the button, Andy. I don't know how to do that.
Yep.
Yay. Donkey Man USA with $2 stream late due to Hal gooting to semen.
Yeah,
indeed. Many such cases.
Second here one. It is. Donkey Man USA with the fiver. Thank you. Colin, the Corona Fireball Zero Ultra tastes like how tonight is sound. I'm going insane in real time. My frequent vodka intake has not prepared me. It's a it's not a drink for the faint of heart or anyone, really.
Link was possibly.
Colin's husband oiled up and bouncing freaky style.
Thank you.
My flag flies full mast today. Happy birthday, Colin.
Wow.
Another colon. Nylock, yep. $2. My boatman spilleth over flooding the seaways. Thank you.
Yar. Big one here.
Cool. Marathi's favorite chair with the tenor. Thank you very much. Colin, please, another Space Wolves hate video. They are my favorite 40K faction, but I think your opinion is valid and agree with a lot of what you say. I think you're lying about being a Warhammer fan, then. That shows a level of introspection no one in this hobby has.
Next time Colin makes a Space Wolves hate video, I need to come out with a everything awesome about Space Wolves video at the same time.
Nice. On the same day. That's what
you're doing. Yeah, we got to plan that.
Another big Colin, one.
Husband oiled up and bouncing freaky style. Thank you for the $10. Eli, have you heard the good news? Drukhari lost more units. They could take our models, our rules, our money, our time, and our dignity, but they'll never take our skin couches. Kamara will prevail. Well, hear me out. Let's take the GW shareholders, and let's take the people who are making these decisions, and let's send them somewhere else.
Eat them.
Send them to somewhere else
and never see them again, and then Warhammer will be all better.
You are going to Siberia, comrade.
Yeah.
I'll one-up you. Send them to Slough. That'll do them in.
To Slough.
Yeah, oh,
good. I haven't heard this one before.
And he goes off the pit.
Yep, big one.
Ooh, Nomius Johnson, thank you, Nomius. With the 20 euros. Thank you very much. Hey guys, how's everybody doing? Colin, what are your top three factions in AOS? Where does Kislev rank? Eli, thanks to you, I hate the towel much less.
Huge.
Andy, I wish you would get big, tall, muscle, Chigorizian mommy.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I guess I got a question. Kislev, I'm sorry to say, is not an Age of Sigmar faction. I do appreciate them. They're real ones, but I don't know. I don't feel too strongly about Kislev. It's like a background level of positivity. You know, it's not too passionate, but I'm happy they're here. Mm-hmm. Oh, and there was Andy disconnecting
that was very unfortunate. It was just like, oh, we're winning, we're at the boss fight, and then it's like, oh, the melter bomb is not exploding.
I saw why that, and the boss wasn't moving. I'm like, oh, someone's internet was having some troubles. It's
annoying. I moved to PC from Xbox. I'm like, this will be even better, and the graphics are better, and then it's like, oh, I didn't expect this was a thing I had to deal with, but it happens all the time. Wasting my time. Thank you, Nomius.
Top three, let's just go in no particular order. Skaven, Lumineth, and Osiark Bone Reapers.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Next one.
Edmund the Spiffing, thank you for $2. Happy birthday all, and Collins, hello from Lebanon. Wow.
Hello.
How many of these messages have had happy birthday to me?
It's Collins' birthday every day.
I will promise this. If we get even more, I promise we'll commission merch where it just says "Happy Birthday, Colin," and it'll be just like suffocating in presents, and that'll be funny. True. I mean, and two people will buy it, but it'll be worth it.
Yep.
Hello. I think this one's for me. Livid Knox for $5. Andy, since you're the only one of the Law Crimes members who knows about my tattoo, I would like to entrust you to choose what my next tattoo will be. What you should get is a tattoo of Colin with the text "Happy Birthday, Colin," and I think that'd be very fun.
Please don't do that. Please don't do that.
That was a joke. That was a joke. That was a joke. I recant. I disavow. I disavow.
I got shown the tattoo. It's very funny.
Mm.
This is for Colin, I think.
The Dank Apostle with the 35 ZAR. Thank you. Coilin has devolved from his manly rough dwarf and beard to a manicured metrosexual beard. Wow. Bro, I'm not winning on any account. Someone left a comment the other day that said, like, how do you look even worse now?
Oh, wow.
I was just like, Jesus Christ, all right.
Colin's husband oiled up and bouncing freaky style. Thank you for the $2.
Nice.
How would y'all put the Navy in base 40K tabletop? You can't, other than flyers, like just regular flyers, which they do. So you could add like orbital bombardment, which there's rules for back in the day. I don't know if there is anymore.
You put a giant like 36 inch plate on the table, and anything under it just kind of evaporates. Yeah. It's like a hell diver strategy.
Orbital bombardment rules and like deep strike rules. Kind of like Navy stuff.
What's the gigantic Tau dropship called that you can buy? The Manta. I went to PeachCon in its first year, and there was a Manta. And I saw it, and I held it in my hands, and I was like, "Why is this? Like, I understand it's cool, but like, you can't do anything with this on tabletop."
You can. It's the Tau Manta. It costs 2,100 points, and you can fit 3,500 points in it.
It costs as many dollars as it does points too. So if anyone feels like donating $2,000, I'll buy a Manta on stream. Although
the most impressive thing I've seen with my eyeballs was I went to Manchester for a stag do of my friend Jay, and in their shop they have a gigantic bio ship in the window with a Death Watch like diorama, and I was like, wow, that's dedication. They made a bio ship by hand, and just that.
I've always had a dream. Before we go to the next one, I've always had a dream of making a like 3 or 4 layer game board, where you have the base layer is ground troops, the layer after that is planes in the sky, and then the layer after that is space, where you're playing Battlefleet Gothic. That's the dream. Or another dream that's actually achievable is going from space to ground in like a 3-game thing. So you play a space battle, and then that determines stuff on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. We'll probably do that on the upcoming Battle Report channel.
Ooh, very nice.
Trevor Breedlove. Thank you for $20.
Thank you.
Shout outs to Eli and Alex at Grimdark Games. Thank you for motivating me to start working out. Shout out to Andy and Hal for the best lore channels ever. Shout out to Colin for getting me into AOS. AOS. God bless my friends. Car mission. God bless you. Thank you for the $20.
Thank you very much. Well,
for the flattery, I will say, watch this space for me and Hal. We have something cool coming up. And the boys are going to be involved as well. So keep an eye out.
Check out grimdarkgames.com.
Yes, become hench like Eli. It's good.
Driving in my car, donating to the lore crimes with the €2. Hey, that road is shaped like a tree. DUI, how about? God.
That's a crazy bit. That's a crazy bit.
God bless you, man, with the Asgore Undertale drunk driving meme profile picture. 10 out of 10.
Yep. Dank Apostle became a member. Thank you, the Dank Apostle. Join members, and we'll make members only content soon. I keep like saying that we will, and then we don't do anything, but it'll actually happen. I swear it.
It's just a nice thing to do at the moment. It's just like, oh, thanks.
But we'll do some actual things, like, I don't know, like painting and hang out, maybe some gaming. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do some gaming where members can also play some video games when we can all play together. Shall we? Anyway,
my word. Who's gonna read this one?
Robert Gilliman's. Okay, Colin. Oh. Colin.
Pardon me.
He's been volunteered.
Robert Gilliman's well-lubricated chain poop knife.
Thank you.
Thank you for the 500 RSD. Finally caught a stream. Y'all are helping me through tough times. I'm glad we can do so. Keep up the great work. Hope the Navy is present if/when we get 40K Total War. Happy birthday, Cologne.
Love Cologne.
Well, bless you in those tough times. Papa, yes. Thank you for $4.99. A question for Colin. Do you think Felix is alive?
I'm going to say yes, and then I'm going to cope eternally until that's proven one way or another.
Colin's going to say yes and curl into a ball, and that's how he's ending.
Is he a Stormcast? Is that the idea?
There's been nothing about that.
Is that what you're like? Pretending though,
I'm just gonna pretend he's just kind of there. He's still Felix because his life is suffering.
Fair. Anyways,
right, well,
back to the Navy.
Yeah. So to give you an overview of the ships, because we all love ships. Ships are fun. Boats. Boaty McBoatface. I love Colin's subtitle as the HMS Boaty. So largest ships you can get, more or less, are the Gloriana ships, but you don't really see them anymore because they were specifically designed for the Primarchs. Rabute's got one. We haven't seen the Invincible Reason for a long time. I'm hoping with the Lion Lore, with his resurgence, we see that come back, because they've got the Rock, which is kind of a bit like, oh, so you got the biggest dick in the look at mine. It's like, that's a planet. That's bits of a planet. You cheated. And the Phalanx is pretty big too. But generally speaking, as far as conventional Navy supplies, the largest you can get is basically a battleship, and they are helmed by Lord Admirals. They are very slow, but they are very strong, and they are vast. You can get variations like the Emperor class, the Victory class, the Retribution class, and there are rarer models like Apocalypse and Oberon classes as well. Generally speaking, they house 25,000 to 30,000 crew members, and they are, brace for Britishism, 8 kilometers in length.
Okay, that's what we use here in Canada.
Okay, British and Canadians, kilometer. Deal with it, Colin.
Cringe.
Cringe. Oh, don't you besmirch my metric.
1,000 meters. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. Kilo for 1,000. Yeah. Makes what's the equivalent with America? How do you measure things?
Miles.
Burgers.
Boygush. 10,000 boygush. Generally speaking, though, these are big, and they are pretty luxurious for the officer caste. If you're an officer, you have massive bedrooms, you've got dining lounges, you have servants, and you have concubines, right? Jeez. The most senior admirals have life standards that exceed governors. All right, let me repeat that. If you're in the Navy, you're getting more stuff than a guy who owns an entire planet in terms of like luxuries. Yes, you got less space, less size, I guess. 8 kilometers is not a world, but you got plenty of concubines. You got your roast pheasants from some planet. You've got, you know, the finest wines reclaimed from certain worlds. And generally speaking, you're in the lap of luxury, which we'll go back to a little bit later on for the flip of the coin with the lowest ranking members. Because let's also bear in mind, as excessive and crazy as the admirals have it, just bear in mind the conscripts on the lowest decks, like they sleep in flea infested pallets without like bedding. So like bear that in mind. But to lose a single battleship is like a devastating blow to the Navy. It's like losing a chapter master. It's like losing a well-regarded world, not quite Cadia, but like losing a very reputed world that's been serving the Imperium for millennia. Losing a battleship is crushing, because not only have you lost a lot of lives, you've also lost like the finest beds, the nicest wines. You've lost all these exterminatus class weapons. You've lost a lot. And a virus bomb that detonates in the vacuum of space isn't no good to anyone. But with that in mind, if one has to be replaced, an entire Forge world can do it if they drop everything and spend about 1 million hours of labor to get it done. If everyone on the planet like stops working on what they're already working on and goes, got to replace this battleship, they can do it. It's probably going to take months, if not years, and everyone on the planet is going to be working on it. So there is that. The next smaller one than a battleship is a Grand Cruiser. It's an older design than a battleship, but it is also a bit smaller. Avenger classes are the most prominent, and they're typically made from cannibalizing parts of destroyed battleships, where they're like, we can't repair this, but we can take bits off to make it work. Ironclads are a thing. They're fun. An ironclad cruiser is basically a ship that predates the Navy itself. We're talking Great Crusade, if not Age of Strife vessels, but because they am so old, they don't have shields. So typically, they're either reserved in the back lines to carry like exterminatus warheads, or on occasion, they are used as battering rams to be like, hey, is that a Blackstone Forest with Abaddon in it? Full speed ahead. We'll put all the munitions in the front and we'll just blow it up like that, because it's funny. So ironclads are fun. I wish we had more of them in the setting because they're fun. Cruisers are the next smallest. They are faster than battleships. They're easier to produce. Here's the thing about this. I had to do a little bit of digging, and I think I know why. So you know how I said like the biggest ships, the battleships, have 25,000 to 35,000 people in it? Apparently, these ships, the cruisers, have 10,000 to 1 million. And I'm like,
that's a large range.
A million's a lot more than 35,000. And I think, don't quote me on this, but I think the reason is there's less like need for opulent spaces for the officers to enjoy, but also because they are not as potent, you need more staff to crew them. I think that's the idea. It's like, oh, well, we don't have to worry about reserving an entire deck for one guy who will have like concubines and feasting halls and all this stuff. We'll put like 100,000 people in that. Or it's a case of, oh, this isn't as a well-made ship, so we need 10 times the people to crew it. I think that's why. I'm not sure, but that's what I've...
It might be the lower deck dwellers also just like living and breeding endlessly.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. And then like the Master at Arms, like, why is there 1,000 more people this week? They've been shagging again. Oh, guys, stop doing that. We gave you
again. It's unlimited manpower glitch.
Spawn glitch.
One way to look at it.
In the flea infested palettes. Oh no. But yeah, so they are typically 5 to 6 kilometers in length, but they are more versatile despite the fact they have less firepower. They're easier to make, they're quicker to make barely. So it's like, oh, we could use a battleship to do all this damage, or we could get like 5 cruisers. They'll take as much time to build. If we lose one or two, that's better than losing an entire battleship. So we'll put them in the front lines. They do less damage, but they're also more maneuverable. Smallest of all the ships are the escorts. They operate in squadrons of 2 to 6, and they are known as wolf packs. Shout out to the Space Wolves chapter and all you guys who love wolf, wolf, wolf. But this is completely unrelated. This is about air combat. They are very maneuverable. They typically protect larger vessels or attack other vessels' weak points, and they skitter around at about 1.5 kilometers. Most ships in the fleet are outfitted with gravitic barriers, so they can take a lot of punishment with their force fields. They use fusion battery plasma drives to propel themselves, and on rare occasions, they can be used as impromptu explosives or detonation beacons, like, for example, in Flight of the Eisenstein. It's not a fusion drive. It's their warp drive. But Garrow and the crew eject their warp drive to detonate as like a SOS beacon. And they're like, oh, well, we can't fly if we kick this out. But we can at least make a big bright light in the sky so someone might see it. And thankfully, Rogel Dorn's about before he tries to beat Nathaniel Garrow to death with his fists. But disavowing that, they can be used for a lot of stuff. They could be used as like impromptu explosives or beacons. Most ships are capable of destroying entire cities on their own, but if you get a group of them, they can destroy an entire planet. Though not all of them have exterminators weapons, kind of like Knights of the Republic, where it's Malak, and he's like, Taurus has surrendered. We're going to take him, my lord. He's like, wipe this pathetic planet from the face of the galaxy. And they're just slowly shooting it with laser beams.
Blowing it away.
Yeah, and then it's like, haha, but the Ebon Hawk got out because this is Daddy Millennium Falcon is where it comes from, I guess. They can do it. It's just going to be slow going. It's going to be, we'll go city to city, plane by plane, like a tedious game of Minefield, but the mines are people and they're in the thousands. Sad. They're also large heavy cruisers, which have about 2,000 escort craft inside, or fighter craft, not escort craft. But like, if you have a heavy cruiser, which is like the mid-tier ship, they have about 2,000 smaller ships that are inside their hangars. And we're talking about like drop ships and bombers. So if you need to, you could just be like, hey, I can fit 2,000 bombers in my hull, in the hangar. We're just going to like put 2,000 bomber craft on the surface for lulls. And there's like five of us, and that's 10,000 bombers, probably with a payload that could destroy entire worlds. We'll just like carpet bomb the entire planet. It'll be fun. Cool. And they can also do saturation targeting of entire zones of the planet. They can destroy strike teams to vulnerable positions. They carry God's Bane lancers, which is a great name for a weapon, Nova cannons, las burners, torpedoes, which are either melter torpedoes, plasma torpedoes, virus bombs, or vortex varieties that make the fire little black holes onto the planet. And they also have boarding torpedoes, so they can imitate being a space marine, but less good, which is where you get the breacher squads, which I wish we had more breacher squads. I think they're cool. I like the bronze armor aesthetic. I like how they have the big riot shields, but they're not like RBTs or space marines. We need more Navy guys from the boarding teams. They're fun.
Truly.
They're cool in kill team. One day I want to get a kill team of just the boarding guys.
For the truly insane, you can you should play Battlefleet Gothic Tabletop. And then if you do a boarding action, resolve it by playing a match of kill team with the boarding squad.
Yeah.
And then do that
Mortalis 50, if you want to really get going.
Yeah. And then do that 50 more times and you should be done with the game in about 2 years.
And bear in mind, the only game I've played is Kill Team so far. That's the only tabletop I've played. And I enjoyed it a lot. But I understand it's like Babby's first tabletop game. I'm like, give me a break. I'm trying my best. Might as well go through we've got a couple of donations before I go through promotions. And like, this will be a bit of a shorter one because I've basically got ranks left. And this is lot of me just yammering on. But we've got another page or so of ranks. But before we do that, I'm just going to get us through these donations. So this one, who wants to take Dank Apostle again?
Sure. Thank you for the 35 Czar. Hot take. You. Trazen's voice actor in Hammer and Bolter is far better than the audiobook version of The Infinite and Divine. I have not listened to that audiobook. I only read the book, so I
am in the same boat.
Actually, I feel like maybe I did listen to the audiobook. I just don't remember what it sounds like. I totally did listen to it. It's totally in my audiobook.
I did listen to it. It was that forgettable, said Eli.
It's a good book. It's mine. I guess I just don't remember the voice acting. That was like 2 years ago, to be fair. Fair enough, though.
Ooh. Oh, my. Drakon Slong. Pancreas has tumor. Oh my god.
Why?
He was here last episode.
Being in the IRL American Navy, I sympathize with all the poor bastards in the Imperial Navy. My job could probably be done by a servitor.
Well,
wow.
Oh, he's here again with another one. Mr. Drakon Slong. Drakon Slong again. Here the five. Calling my endocrinologist could kick your endocrinologist's ass. Wow.
Maybe. I don't know. Sure.
Is he a pretty buff guy? So yeah.
He's not. He's just kind of a guy.
He's just a guy. He's a little guy. He's just a big shwewee. Yeah. So time to cap it off with ranks. Again, this is like a very dense information one, but also it's we've gone through the kind of origins of the Navy. We've gone through the different ships, and now it's the ranks. And then after this, that's pretty much it, because honestly, this faction doesn't have much fleshing out. I know the Astra Militarum get a lot of books, like Eli, you were saying before the stream, you've been reading a lot of good ones recently. Yep. The Navy doesn't really get the same treatment, which is a bit of a shame. But there are good bits. So for example, if you want to get promoted in the Imperial Navy, you don't get it through nepotism. You have to do a good job. So much so that you are assigned by the administratum, the literal, you know, bean counters of the Imperium, who are like commendations. Yeah. They're the guys who appoint you. So, you know, you got to do a good job on paper. The highest rank you can achieve is Lord High Admiral, with, of course, the Lord High Admiral of the Solar Segmentum being the highest rank there is. The Lord High Admiral of the Segmentum Solar remains on the throne world. So he gets his wings clipped, because he has to sit on the High Lords of Terra Council. And he basically jostles for position to be like, okay, I need to make sure that my armies are equipped as best they can. And similar to what you were saying earlier, Colin, this is the guy that generally speaking, at least for the Segmentum Solar and to an extent a bit of the Outer Segmentums, is coordinating thousands of campaigns across the galaxy. That thing we were saying about, oh, there's like so many billions of stars. Yeah. This is the guy that's like, oh God, what is going on every single day? Like puffing his vape like every few seconds, like, I'm so stressed. Oh my God, what's going on now? And there's a what now? What's a Necron? Okay, we got to deal with them. Like, this is the guy who's like scrambling to try and figure out, okay, who's this captain? What's he doing? Who's this guy? Who's that guy? It doesn't seem like a good job. It's obviously plush because you're like not in the front lines, but you spend all your day with the High Lords of Terra. That's pretty dull. I want to say one of the previous ones got killed in the coup to dethrone Rabute Gilliman as Lord High Commander, but I'm not sure. But again, at least the guy is trying to do the best for his men, because obviously he's been appointed because he knows what he's doing. This isn't a nepotism organization. This isn't a bureaucracy organization. You get to be the top dog by doing the most stuff. So he obviously knows what he's doing with combat. He's been in the trenches. So he's trying to do his best, but he's probably also a bit glad not to be, you know, fighting Huron Blackheart's pirate raiders in the front lines, being attacked by like bombardments of their broadsides. Like, oh, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. But every Lord High Commander commands a segmentum, as we said, and they are also known as Battlefleet Commanders. And each is responsible of thousands of sectors. There are so many sectors. So if each sector has like a dozen ships, that's 12,000 ships with a crew of 20, maybe 15,000. So millions of people are under the thumb of these particular individuals. The Lord Admirals are the next highest ranking people. They report directly to the Lord High Admiral of each segmentum, and they are in charge of a sector. So there's 8 Lord Admirals of each segmentum, which means there's 40 in total in the galaxy. Vice Admirals are their aides. They command light cruisers and destroyers of the fleet. So they are pretty high ranking, but obviously they're not in charge of a segmentum, thank God. But they're also not in charge of of all 8 sectors, thank God. Rear Admirals are the youngest of the like upper crust of the Navy. These guys I say mundane tasks, but they coordinate things like refueling the fleet, doing convoy disputes, and repair efforts. But let's not forget, they have concubines, they have dining halls, they have like the finest of all cuisine, they have the comfiest of all beddings. They're doing fine. So like mundane tasks is a bit in air quotes, but it's also worth remembering that. And then who's next? Let me just load this bit of footage. There we go. The next one is the Commodores, which is a fun name. I like the name Commodores. Fun fact, Cato Sicarius, everyone's favorite Ultramarine, his home planet is technically commanded by the Void Tridents, and their chapter master is also called a Commodore, which is fun. But Navy Commodores are also called Group Commanders. They are the most senior ship captains you can get, and they lead bespoke squadrons that support the Lord Captains, also known as Flag Captains. Captains work with flag captains to helm the cruisers of the fleet, which are the second most biggest ships. And they also are entrusted with the survival of like 15 to 20,000 people per head. Captains are pretty high ranking, but there's also ones known as wing commanders, which lead all the wolf packs, which are those eight-man squadrons of escorts. And they are often assigned to either protect a carrier or to an orbital station. Lieutenants are the junior officers who act as the second in command to the captains, and they are the ones vying to hopefully take their position once they are either killed or promoted. You've got officers of the watch who are rotated. So there isn't a established officer of the watch all the time. It's more that the lieutenants will rotate this position as like a way to be like, right, you're officer of the watch for like a year or a few months. We're going to keep a close eye on you while you're in this position to see if you're capable. And if you're not, you will cycle out. And then another lieutenant will take that position, and then we'll see how they do. So again, it's that means testing sort of thing. Every ship has a Every ship has a tech priest majoris on every ship, and they represent the Mechanicus, because, you know, you need to go humana to all the toasters on the vessel, all the guns, every las rifle, you got to go skibbity riz. please shoot the gun, please.
What?
Yeah, they got the incense.
What is bro on about?
All I'm saying is the Mechanicus are as unknowable as they are weird, and so Unk. I think it's a. And so, although I got to admit, Colin, girlfriend was like, "What is Skibbity Toilet?" And I showed her, and I said, "Colin likes it." And she's like,
"It's peak.
Doesn't get it. It's peak. Doesn't get it." Hey, boomers, we're in our 30s. Also, you have to have a navigator on your ships, but you can't just have one, because if your navigator dies, you're screwed. So there's a principal navigator. They have a choir, and they maintain relations with the navigator houses, and they also lead the choirs in communicating between ships. Because again, you can't just be like, I'm going to text Solar Fleet 127, we're going to attack. It's like, no, you have to be like, and choir to the other choir, who then send a message to the captain, be like, hey, you're going to attack the thing. Because that's how Warhammer works. Can't have it be efficient. There's a Master of Ordnance who's in charge of torpedoes, Gav Forps, and attack craft ammunition stores, ensures that you got enough fuel in the tank. You got Master of Arms who looks after the guns like the las guns and macro cannons. You got Fleet Commissars, and here's a fun fact: Fleet Commissars aren't very high ranked, as you can tell. They're kind of like in that not quite non-commissioned officer, but they're like just in. They have the authority to kill the captain if they smell a whiff of conspiracy, as a hint of heresy. They're like, bolt gun.
Even an ability in Battlefleet Gothic, at least the video game, where you shoot your captain to stabilize morale.
I'm pretty sure there's a cutscene as well where like there's a captain who's showing signs of maybe we shouldn't attack, and there's like a commissar just appears out of nowhere and goes, instant bang. Bang. Oh,
incorrect.
Cool. Yeah. You are now the captain. Lol. The ship also has surgeons who look after the crew. They have confessors who look after the crew in a different way. You have midshipmen, which is what my dad's rank was when he was in the Navy, who, funnily enough, live in the midsection of the ship. And they maintain intermediary duties. They are officers, but they're not like the high rank or the low rank. They're kind of in the middle. And then, they are basically the lowest officer rank. Then you've got non-commissioned officers, including warrant officers, also known as petty officers, also known as the Master Chief.
Halo.
I love Halo. Question, Colin.
Yeah.
Do you know why Chief is a Master Chief?
My default assumption has always been something Oni crap.
Oh, well, it's basically Master Chief is the highest rank you can get without being an officer. So there's, to my knowledge, I can't remember his name. There's only ever been one officer who was part of the Spartans. And he was like the only guy, and it was very strange circumstances. But basically, Master Chief isn't above the rank of Master Chief, because then he's going to be resigned somewhat to behind a desk. So Master Chief is the highest warrant officer rank you can get in the Navy before you're taken away and you can't fight on the front lines anymore. They don't want to promote him because he's a Spartan. It makes sense. Trust me, bro.
There's also, it does, I imagine, help where I'm sure if the Master Chief told anyone to do something, they're going to be like, yes, sir, you're the Master fucking Chief.
And also, Andy quote, not being funny, if they promoted him above the rank of Master Chief, everyone would have to get used to his new rank and call him that by name. Like Master Chief, like, no, actually, I'm actually Lieutenant John.
It doesn't have the same ring as Master Chief.
Yeah, John Halo.
Master Cheeks, defend this bakery. but yeah, basically that's what warrant officers do. They just kind of, they're kind of like sergeants for what you'd have in the guard. They are higher ranking than most people, but they're not quite in that cadre of officer. So the men trust them a bit more, because like, oh, you're not one of those, you're not one of those bureaucrats up there. It's like, no, trust me, it's fine. They disseminate orders from the lieutenants, etc., to the rest of the front lines. You get shipmasters who monitor the decks for performance. You've got, all right, here's a pop quiz. Fellas, guess what a gun captain do?
Tells the guns to shoot. He's in charge of the guns.
Correct. Captains in charge of the gun crews. There's a cool animation on Warhammer Plus of the Angels of Death Origins, where it's about the crew, and there's like a guy in charge, and like Warhammer's kind of goofy. They're like, hey, why, instead of having like in tanks in modern era, you have like pre-loading, they take the shell and it loads and it goes straight in. It's like an autoloader. In Warhammer, you can't have an autoloader. That's heresy. So they just have like guys with chains dragging the ordnance into the barrel in the hundreds, and the animation's like, hey, there's a gun captain and there's his men, and the gun captain's not by any means like high ranking, but he's in charge of the gun crew. And so they're like, oh, these Drukhari suck, let's just drag this ordnance into the chamber one last time, just to kind of flip them the V, kill ourselves in the process, and shoot one shell into their ship while they think we're stuck in like rotating in space without engines, just to mess them up. It's like, yeah, good man. You also got sergeants at arms who are in charge of the armsmen who lead boarding actions. They drill their men for combat. They're the most veteran of armsmen, and they're usually armed with guns, auto guns. They're basically the same capabilities as a Tempestus Scion. So like Tempestus Scions they're raised in the elite Scola Progenium. These are like elite shock troopers. These guys they're not like school smarts. They're street smarts. They're like, I've survived so many boarding actions against the Black Legion, I am not to be messed with. And then you've got boatswains, not a coxswain, a boatswain, to maintain discipline.
Hang in there.
It's a real word. It's not naughty. And then we've got pee-pee poo-poo. But then we've got a weird one. We've got ratings. What's a rating? ratings are like the underclass. They're the menials. They do maintenance. They clear debris. They do what's needed. But here's the weird thing about the Navy, right? Ratings are volunteers. Why would you volunteer? Here's another pop quiz. Why would you volunteer to just be like, I'm going to do like maintenance, clearing debris from like collapsed tunnels and just hauling cargo? What's the point? Why would I do that?
My assumption is otherwise your role in the ship is one of those shit clans that live near the engine who sometimes get incinerated when they go to full thrust.
Well, Eli, what's your assumption?
Probably a roof over your head and three meals a day, maybe two.
Yeah. Why grow up in a hive where someone might shank you every hour of the day? You could go to the Navy, you get room and board for free. You get paid. Pay. You get free square. You know, free hot meals. And here's the thing: most armsmen are absolutely stoked to be armsmen. They are so happy because the circumstance they came from is so rubbish. They're like, I'm so glad not to be back in, you know, Birmingham, the planet which is a reference. There is a planet called Birmingham. Where the Harbingers come from, and they're like, I'm so glad I got out of Birmingham and now I can live on a ship where I get like a roof. It's amazing. And yeah, the highest rank of armsmen are generally allowed to carry weapons on board. Wow, they are trusted that much because they're proven to be like, hey, we're insane enough to go on a boarding torpedo, slam into an enemy ship and shoot heretics. It's like, yeah, you guys are cool. And the end of my script, here we go. Voidsmen are good at maintenance and they are trained as such. And you have, unfortunately, indentured workers who aren't paid. They're generally drawn from penal colonies. They do hard labor and they usually die within months due to malnutrition, accidents, or punishments.
What an emperor.
The Navy.
What an emperor.
In the Navy.
Oh.
Forts.
did we talk about space marine battle barges at all, or is that for a different video?
Those are space marine stuff is like their own, like the space wolves.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Stupid massive fleet they pull out of their ass as needed. Hate. That's just about? Them. They just have that. That's not related to the Navy.
What if we just didn't follow the Codex Astartes?
What are we talking about? They're good boys. They follow Codex Astartes.
What if we killed half the Grey Knives and Knights and punched the position in the balls? What are the consequences to this? Nothing really.
That's right, baby. That's right. Total faithful victory. Never punished.
You can get one vague hint that someone is paying exactly one orc war boss to sometimes fight the space wolves on their behalf.
I don't know. We got 12,000 space marines because we've got 12 great companies. And also we don't have a limit on scouts. And also our scouts aren't really scouts. They're actually veterans who stay in the scouts. We have blood claws. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
I loved the Vodka Penrica.
Woof. Woof.
Woo.
Oh.
I think Leibnerost is cool. And all his children should die.
Logan Grimnar's the goat. He'd solo Kaldor Drago if he could.
Yeah, and he's washed. Your goat is washed.
All I'm going to say is I didn't include battle barges, etc., because technically they're not part of the Navy. Because Marines are a bespoke organization. They have the ability to roam the stars at will. Everyone else has to ask the Navy, hey, can I have a lift? Like, that's how it goes. It doesn't matter if you're a Cassocker or if you're a menial laborer. Say, hey, buddy, I don't have Uber. Can you help me get to a party across the stars?
I believe the Imperial Air Force is also part of the Navy and not the Army. At least in Taro's campaign, all the Thunderbolts and stuff are connected to the Navy and not the Army.
The Aeronautica.
You have to beg and plead to get more planes for your campaign.
Yes. I've not done a video on them yet, and that's why they're not in this video.
They fly planes. The Navy lets them down sometimes. That's kind of...
Yeah, it's just planes at the end of the day.
It's cool.
And to be fair...
It's cool.
Well, like, the Navy's cool, but, like, again, there's a bajillion Astra Militarum books. There's none for the Navy. There's none for Aeronautica. There's one for Aeronautica by Aaron Dempsey Bowden.
And they're making... Like, I knew what's coming out. There's a couple planes books. There's
like two.
Yeah.
It's like a... edgier Star Wars equivalent where there's always a reason why the Navy can't just go, hey, shoot that guy, and then the planet blows up. Although, if I remember correctly, for the old Eye of Terror campaign, I think that was 6th edition, they took like battle reports and included Battlefleet Gothic in those reports to determine the narrative. Chaos resoundingly won the ground war, but the Imperium resoundingly won the space war. So I think what they like were forced to write before they retconned it was, well, Chaos took the planets and then they blew up.
But then check out that Nova cannon. But I also love the idea that that campaign was like the ground war was between possibly thousands of battle reports of people with their armies. And then there was just like two guys playing the other tabletop game. And so it was just like one guy's wins.
Yeah. Changed the narrative. The other guy didn't know how to play Battlefleet.
And he owned both armies, and he was like, don't let them win. I want the Imperium to win this one. Okay.
I do want boats. I want Imperial boats. I know that there's like very little use for actual warships in a setting like this, but surely if you go to an ocean planet, it would be done mostly by boats. Surely. Am I insane? Is that wrong to say? In the Farsight, from one of the Farsight books, by He Who Must Not Be Named, there's an orc submarine. So if the orcs have submarines, surely we can have some warships.
Well, just to put it in perspective, Eli, Phil Kelly did write a lot of the lore for the Novus Imperialis as well. So, like, he's double dipping. I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to say.
I just want boats. I want boats. I want ships. Yeah. I like boats.
I'm annoyed. I can't.
I want the space marine dinghy. It'd be funny.
I'm annoyed. I can't find this damn campaign because I totally forgot about it. But that I have I wanted to find some results, see if I couldn't find results for it somewhere. I know Eldrad died in it, but then he got better.
He got fine, yeah. Although, Eli, I would say that I reckon the reason GW won't make boats is because you have things like, what's the space marine thing that has like a bit that sticks out the bottom and it floats above ground?
The land speeder? Land raider?
Land speeder.
No, not land raider. Land speeder.
Yeah, I feel like if it can hover over land, it can hover over water. It's kind of like episode 9 of Star Wars. Like, oh, why are the stormtroopers on like a land terrain vehicles when the vehicles they already have float?
There is. I will send it in the Discord right now. I'll send it in both Discords. Join the Discord. There is an orc submarine that does exist.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, but the orcs can have that because they're not sophisticated with technology. But the Imperium can't because it's like our stuff. We have things that float above land. I don't know. Although I really like that trench crusade of Britannica, where it's like a gigantic naval vessel. It's like Britain rolls the waves.
Surely, if you're fighting on a completely water planet, you would need boats.
Nah, just do what they did in the 2003 Clone Wars and land your capital ships on the water and dive into it.
There must be a way to get boats.
Also, you can't drop pod in the ocean. You drown. Can't
have to drop pod you just keep going to hit the seabed and get crushed.
And then you have to like walk. I'm like, oh, come on. Walking back up to the beach.
I don't know. I don't know. Boats are like the beach. I don't know. I can't say. I can hardly say realistic one way or another because we don't exactly have a galaxy spanning empire in real life, but I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like in sci-fi, it's like we have a spaceship. Yeah. It's a boat that can now fly.
Yeah, I know.
You need a James Bond rendition where it's like, it's a car that can also be a boat and it transforms. That's what you need. It's a land raider, but it's also a boat. It can go on waves because you can't drive through the ocean. You need a boat.
I would say you could play Man of War instead, but there's yet another stub game that has been executed for years.
Yeah,
I'm gonna research this. I'm gonna find Warhammer boats.
Oh wait, I know where you can find a Warhammer boat. I'm going to get yelled at for this one.
Oh, no. What have you done? What have you done? Clive, what have you boys done?
Go look at it. Clive, World of Warships, baby.
Nah, frick off. That, frick
Warhammer boat.
Oh, my gosh.
Warhammer 40K boat.
It's a boat. Oh, no.
I'm going to fly my Daca jet right into the prow of that boat.
Oh,
the no. Warhammer boat. There it is.
Yeah.
Frick off.
I'm so glad I remembered that.
Hammer McHam face. Yeah. But that said, I've got nothing left for this episode. I've told you about the... And again, I really like them. It's just a shame we don't have... Because again, I know I'm kind of belaboring the point. We have, what, like 20 Astra Militarum books? Maybe more now. There's like...
More than that.
There's the Katachan books.
There's a gajillion of them, man.
There's four Minska Lesk books. She's got four... books now. She's
there's a ton of books. Most of the old books are Imperial Guard books.
Gunheads, yeah, I got that one. So there's like a lot of Astra Militarum, but there's no Navy. I know they're usually support, so it'd be like, oh, we've got this Dawn of Fire book, I guess we'll have a Navy guy in there while they're like doing exposition between points.
Well, we got it. Mike's telling us don't forget the question of the week this time.
Oh shit.
We did forget twice. Thanks, Mike. Someone want to check that?
if you could make a Warhammer boat, what Warhammer boat would you make?
Hashtag boat.
What? How about?
All right, I'll buy you time, Colin. How about you? If you look for some questionnaires, we'll read. We got four donos to get through, and then if we go through them and you're still looking. We will buy for time by being professionals.
All right. I have thought of a question, however, for this week.
Scar's next top guy, formerly known as Thanos, thank you very much for the 59 NOK. Just got the Slaves to Darkness spearhead. The Gore Beast chariot got me acting unwise. Dude, what do you mean by that?
Oh.
Also, I love shortening Slaves to Darkness and command points. I don't know what Hank, that means, but that's pretty cool, man.
Hank, don't abbreviate cyberpunk. Hank.
Oh, I understand. I understand. I understand. Funny. I get it now.
What do I don't understand.
The abbreviation for Slaves to Darkness and the abbreviation for command points.
Well, Slaves to Darkness is just
STD.
That one's not too bad to say out loud. However... Mm-hmm.
The other one is the other one's a no no.
Hank, don't abbreviate COD points.
thank you for the 59 currency. Wherever you are in the world, Mr. Skarsnik.
The next one. Oh, Nomius for free. Free for free. All of these are Nomius.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Nomius. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is for Andy.
The Chigorizian mommy got Andy Wad. Sorry, I'm taken now. I'll be going for a well no, you're my side piece. We're always switching and we're like mwah, mwah, in the background.
Again, Noemi Chomsky.
By the way, Andy, I have watched your video on the Badab War. Absolutely love how you covered it. Thank you. Nice. It was a lot of work, to be honest, because it's like it's only two codexes, it's Imperial Army 9 and 10. And I've had comments like, where are the books? I'm like, there am no books. It's just codexes.
The Imperial Armor books are long, though. It's like 100 pages of lore in those things. And they're like full, big, giant pages.
Well, the thing is, it's like, you get like 60 pages of lore, and then there's 40 pages of like, here are 5, 6, 7 Space Marine chapters. And it's like, here's brother Irrelevantus. And here's his, like,
Panoply. And the lore is usually very in-depth with lots of details of the conflict. Which is why the Taros campaign is like 60 pages of script for me.
Yeah. And even with when I did my Siege of Fenris video, I was like, oh, this is actually a lot of stuff. And it's just because the codex for Warzone Fenris has a lot of stuff. And I was able to be like, oh, here's the bit where Logan Grimnar gets trapped underground and he's with Eagle or Iron Wolf. And it's like, is there a mention of Ragnar Blackmane, your premier character? Is there shit? No. we're going to talk about Grim Glub Shadow from the Space Wolves. Woo! Awesome.
Andy, can I get an opinion?
Okay.
As unbiased as you can make it. Is Bad at War just as good as the Horus Heresy? If not, maybe a little bit better?
Oh, No, it's not. It's like, honestly, wow. Horus Heresy has so many layers, so many books, and established. It has 54 books. Let's not get
okay, but quantity doesn't mean quality.
It doesn't, but like even the bad quality books of the Horus Heresy are ignorable, and you still have like 20 good books.
I don't. Is that really how we want to base that?
I still think that's how it works. Yeah. The
books I don't like, I can just ignore.
No. I'm not saying you ignore them. It's just like, oh, they were just kind of bad books, but that doesn't diminish the really good ones, you know? And they're like, you from a codex, you can't get a POV character arc, you know?
Yeah, I'm not meaning that. That's not really what I mean.
No.
It's not really what I'm talking about. Like the conflicts themselves.
Yeah, yeah, but like, I know people have a go at like my videos, for example, be like, this happened, then this happened, this happened, and that's kind of what a codex is like. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. But it's like, we don't really have like Logan Grimnar in Warzone Fenris going through a crisis of like competency as a leader. It'll be like a sentence long. Whereas in a novel, you get like his actual emotions and opinions, and you have like an insight into his brain box about what he's feeling at the time. You can't really get that with a codex. And so Badab War stuff is cool, but like I don't really know what happened to Steve Orlazarek, the chapter master of the Firehawks, when he was in the entire campaign. He got body slammed at the beginning, and he was in the council at the end, and he was like, we should put all of the Astral Claws heads on pikes. And he was generally very mad about it, but he's only got like three sentences of actual exposition. So it's like, I don't really know who Steve Orlazarek is. And I bet everyone who just heard that said, who? And that's kind of my point. It's like,
chat, I want you to go read go find like a PDF of, I believe it's in the, what is it? The Warhammer Fantasy 8th edition rule book. Go find it and read about Lord Mortkin, who is the most interesting chaos character right. there ever is, only appears in the core rulebook for 8th edition, and somehow has infinitely more relatable motives than any motherfucker with 8,000 million books about why their dad doesn't love them.
But hold on, can I ask you a question then? With that same book you're quoting, are there another like dozen or 20 characters that have that same treatment?
No, they just cooked exactly for my him. Point.
Yeah, it was like the exception proves the rule. It's like this one guy had a really good showing.
They very much can do it in a codex. They just don't bother.
Well, why didn't they then?
I don't know. GW doesn't do market research, and they admit. But, why do they have the things they do?
But either way, my point is that like a novel has more capable, similar to what you were saying. Like a person who does an exceptional codex can do that. But it's much more viable in a novel.
Yeah.
And even when there's like a few bad books, you can do it much more that like, you have so many pages to experiment with and play with. And I love the Badab War stuff. And I hope in the future they do Badab. Like if GW is going to do another bloody Isfahan 5 book, come on, give us some Badab stuff. Come on. Come on. We've been wanting Badab books. We did this. We finished this. We did it. It was done. Stop it. Naughty GW. But like, I'd love like a book about the Badab War. It talks about like, when the Space Marines first meet Asteria and Moloch, and like, this guy's a creep. And then the bit where the Carcharodons arrive and they go, these guys are creeps. And they're like, Stibor is still whinging about how he got body slammed at the beginning. That'd be cool. And then you could have a whole bit about the Star Phantoms arrive and they're like, these guys are good, but they're also weird. And then you could have character moments, but they're just not in the codex. Cause like when the Star Phantoms arrive, it's like the Star Phantoms arrived in force and they were good. And then they won.
Right, cool. Okay, but what if I told you what if I told you the Badab War makes more sense? Huron has better motives than Horus ever did, and I'd rather read 2 Imperial Armor books than 50 Horus Heresy books.
We can.
And that makes the Badab War better to me.
Hey. All right, we're moving on. I've had enough. I've had enough.
Can I have my Horus Heresy recommended reading progression put onto the screen, please?
Yeah, oh my god.
And then don't kick me off of Lore Crimes when you see it.
I haven't got that to hand, but I'll just say, watch this space about a week's time.
I threw it in the Discord real quick. You could just put that on screen right now. Really.
Okay,
is Colin's recommended reading order of the Horus Heresy.
You cheeky scamp! I saw that.
I do agree with your overall points, though, Andy. I just don't like the heresy.
Just being cheeky, yeah, being a naughty boy, being a swimmy boy.
All right. Also, Noam Chomsky slid some torpedoes on the Badab Bozos.
And don't talk about Huron like that.
He's revoked kind of bozo.
Gilliman's well-lubricated chain poop knife. Thank you for the 500 RSD. Have you guys thought about streaming some 40K themed TTRPG, at least a one-shot?
Yeah,
a little bit. I feel like your chemistry and lore knowledge would make for a good time. Colin looks like a DM. Take it how you will.
Chat. That's funny.
The biggest problem with RPG stuff like that is it takes a long time to prepare. That's the biggest problem that I have and, like, getting something like that ready.
Like committing to it, scheduling it.
We could definitely do something like that eventually, though. And I mean, to be fair, if people donate specifically for that, it's kind of hard to say, I don't have time to do this because, you know, we've literally been paid to do it then. So
yeah. Oh, also, this is very related, actually. I need you all to go comment Mr. Arthur Bones through a bunch of people my way. So now half my comments are the Bone Man cometh. Go comment Borbo on every one of his videos, please.
Borbo.
B-O-R-B-O. Just like, and then add like as many O's to that last O as you want. It can be Borbo or Borbo. Fucking do it. He does not get unpunished.
I'll go do it right now.
Wow. Thank you.
You're just making me think of the only game. What's it called? When a Pochingus wandered into the forest, the quest for Bing Bing. the main thing is logistics, but we'll look into it because it's definitely something that'd be good. Massive dirt.
Granites have already sucked. I'm already triggered. 1 trillion Borbos to you, Mr. Arthur Bones.
Lost Fleet book series has somewhat realistic space naval fleet battles. I'm assuming this is a non-Warhammer IP book because I never heard of Lost
Fleet. Let me this look it up.
Something else.
I don't know what this is, but the cover art looks cool.
Lost Fleet book series.
Is this the Scarab from Hell? What am I looking at on this cover?
these look pretty neat. Wacky sci-fi.
We'll have a look. Promise. How do I say this? Any ideas, folks?
Zestera.
Howdy.
Thank you for the five.
They had a singular boat in the Caiaphas Kane short story, Dead in the Water. They did. I forget about that story.
I'm going to have to read that.
But was that like a Dunkirk situation where it was like,
correctly, it was like a yacht, basically. I don't think it wasn't like a battleship. I think it was a yacht he was on for like Caiaphas Kane reasons. It's been a minute since I read it. I don't remember it very well. I don't know. He's Kane. He just ends up on shit.
Kane just does stuff.
He doesn't want to do stuff, but that's his entire story.
Oh, Zeno, hello. Yeah,
good to see you. He's in the chat commenting. He's sending me a message on Discord. I see you, buddy. In regards to Badab, I recall ADB saying it was the series he really wants to write for. Well, he should bloody well do it then, shouldn't he?
Yeah, for real.
He's a good writer, too. How dare you deprive us of his...
If he wants to write it and he hasn't, I don't know how much credit I can give him, but I'm going to make an... allegedly statement here that allegedly I would assume that some of the GW higher ups are allegedly saying make more Horus Heresy books instead, Bozo.
Probably got the cattle prod in the basement, the Matt Ward flash gets meme from 20 years ago.
That is
Nick Kime is like in a
don't
like
speak
a
his name on little crime.
Like, no, must make more Horus Heresy. No.
It's finished.
No, it must keep.
I like money. I want more money now.
No.
Nick Kime rubbed his hands together. Oh,
you will write.
You will write the Horus Heresy.
DJ Beast, shout out. Thank you for the 10 AED. Let me GM a Warhammer one-shot for you guys. Interesting.
Yep, he's mentioned it.
Yes.
You mentioned in the past, it's a case of if I can figure out a way to record it, that'd be good because I could edit it together. That'd be fun. Giggly goo.
I'm sorry.
What are you giggling at?
I checked his latest comments.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
More Borbos all of his videos. More Borbos.
Also, I'm in the starred section. Oh, I'll disconnect again. I'm in the star section for looking at the comments, and then I look at the like chat in general, and it's like 78 notifications. Like, oh, they've been chatting. also, extra medium for 5. I tried Collins Adric mixed drink. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but now I know what it feels like when your tongue gets whiplash.
See, it doesn't hurt, but it tastes like ouch. Like, it should hurt, but it doesn't. I don't know.
What?
Has Andy frozen? Have I frozen?
No, I can hear you. I think Andy's dead.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, chat, can you still hear us? I'm waiting for the stream to catch up.
All right, don't worry. I can take off in the chat in the donos from
I'm
here.
Back.
Oh, never mind.
I just have to wait. The software, like honestly, from our Riverside days, the scars still are healing. This is good. StreamYard is good. If I duck out for technical issues, it keeps my
place. Hey, we're still here. We haven't, stream hasn't exploded.
Because it's independent from moi. It's doing its own thing, which is good. Nomius again. Trois donations.
Didn't the Firehawks disappear in the warp, possibly joining the Legion of the Damned? Yes. Yeah, they're the theoretical, maybe are the Legion of the Damned. Who knows?
Most likely candidate, I would say.
Probably, but who knows?
And also, it might be that, like, Ferris Manus's betrayed Iron Hand started the Legions of the Damned, and these guys were supplemented into it, and it's more like a halfway house to be like, hey, do you want to keep going? Do you want to stay in the lobby? Like, I want to stay in the lobby. Okay, buddy. You can fight with us. You can join our clan. Cool. Thanks, mate. I'm not going to bed for a few hours. No, another one for Nomius.
Well, thank you very much. Eli, I like you very much, but Huron got what he deserved. He wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't a nice guy, but he was right. I don't know.
He called himself the Tyrant of Badab before
That's
the
awesome.
War started.
That's so cool.
I mean, it does go hard, but it does not speak to his moral character.
He's a bit of a sleazy guy.
Also, Eli, I'm going to have to apologize to you. The idea of let's start a crusade into the maelstrom is, it's an interesting idea. It's one of the ideas.
And to be fair, he was goaded by the Black Templars because he went in with the Black Templars with a crusade fleet, and they did really well. They were like, we've never had so many gains ever. And then the Black Templars like, okay, bye. I don't know. Crusading over here now.
I guess, but it's still it hits me as like when I think was it Nero or true the Emperor who declared war on the ocean of ancient Rome. It's like, well, you can't really shoot the warp stone. I'm very sorry. You can shoot the things that live in it, but you can't shoot the storm.
Is Huron like that girl from Cathay who's like, I'm in charge of the fleet? And
Yin-Yin, the Cathay's greatest girl failure.
Is Yin-Yin Huron, but in fantasy?
I don't know, because Huron wasn't given permission. Yin-Yin keeps getting permission, and every time she does, 10 million Cathayans drown. we must drown more Cathayans. Fetch the idiot dragon.
Big one here.
This one's for you, Eli.
Nova box. Thank you for the $10. F you, Eli. Those stupid dogs killed one grandmaster by a dishonorable backstab. Then the Emperor's final gift effed up the Fang. Drago could solo a dozen Chaos Gods. I love the Grey Knights. Rah. I love the Grey Knights too, Nova box. I'm on your side. Well, I love the Space Wolves and I love the Grey Knights. They're both cool. I love Calvo.
He didn't do a backstab. He did a front stab. He was like, he just ran at him so quick.
He anime chopped him in half. Just stupid, man.
And to be fair, the Grand Master, while being able to see him in clear view, didn't react quick enough. Sounds a bit like a skill issue to me, gotta be honest.
Grey Knights are awesome. Like Grey Knights are awesome.
Like Logan Grimnar, Naruto running at you and you don't pull up your hands. Like, what's going on, mate? Really?
Thank you for the $10, Noble Box.
Thank you.
Kaiju with the $1.99. Thank you. They got ADB locked in the basement like Vendrick. Huge Dark Souls 2 mention.
I don't get the reference. I haven't played the game.
He's the king of Drang Lake. He's a good boy, but he tries his best. He tries his best, and he married a gold digger, and that's the problem.
Wow.
Not technically inaccurate.
Vendrick was like, I'm a high-value man. Why do I keep losing? I kill so many giants.
Andy.
What the fuck?
Andy, you wouldn't have happened to conceive a child with a woman named Shannon in 2005, then leave said child Christmas 2010, asking for a friend. Wow. I would have been 15. I doubt it. I would have been still been on Guernsey. Awesome. Is she from Guernsey? Also, I don't think I've ever had intimate relations with a person called Shannon. Also, probably not. Like, unless I went through a fugue state and it was like some kind of horror movie where like I don't have any recollection, I'm going to say an emphatic no.
I'm not buying it. Thank you for the $5.
Thank you.
Noemi's Chomsky, thank you for the $5 again. Shout out Noemi's Chomsky. He's donated quite a lot today. Thank you. Ray Knights got agreed by Space Wolves. Does that mean aggroed, I imagine? They have put them where they belong. Wow. What if we just like both factions, guys?
I think Arthur Bones put out a video today, I think it was, just like Grey Knights.
I put the Borbo comment on there. Unbelievable. Unbelievable comment, man. Or unbelievable video, man. I didn't watch it. I'm just assuming. I'm not even going to watch it. I'm just
Borbo.
Borbo. Yeah, you got the comments for us, Colin? What's the news?
Noemi's Chomsky did put one more to your European dollars for F me typo. Thank you.
Thank you for correcting that with another donut.
Thank you all for the donations. You make lore crimes possible. I do. Seriously appreciate it.
It is very much appreciated. Thank you. I do also have 2 weeks ago's question of the week. The first one is Carrie Ridgway, 8021. Hashtag wholesome. This was, I get some nice wholesome moments from Warhammer, right?
Yeah.
For me, it was a moment that was both sad and wholesome in one of the Kane books, where his student is mortally wounded in the governor's mansion, and Kane gives him his crimson sash, saying he earned that. Dang. If I remember correctly, it might be even worse, because I think he was, like, mind-controlled, and he was only briefly out of it because he was standing next to Jürgen in his blank. So he was, like, in front of a firing line, and Kane gave him that sash before he was executed, which... Very sad, but very, wholesome. Mm-hmm. Minus the execution bit. Little. Yeah. Yeah. The next one is Jij 29, I believe. I said J-I-J. Mm-hmm. Hashtag wholesome. Maugen Ra pulling Craft World out. And an Asserman working a soup kitchen in a Hive City. That was just straight up. Asserman just had a soup kitchen. I've tried to think of any possible ways that could have been like not just him being nice, and the worst possible way I could think of like framing that sequence of events was it got him in with the Hive City so he could help fight the Tyranid Hive fleet that showed up at the end of the book.
It was so selfish that he did a nice thing in order to do another nice thing.
Yeah, that is the rudest way I can think to frame it.
Primary bros.
You start getting to the whole, like, oh, is morality just about self-interest? Is morality just a way for people to benefit? It's like, oh, now you're getting into semantics now.
Asserman, look, I ain't seeing Corvus Korax ladling soup for people. I'm just saying, Asserman was doing it.
No, Korvax is too busy being racist towards his Terran kids. Be like, you from Terra? Get the hell out of here. Right. Get out of here.
Fictional racism is cool and based.
All people from Terra are murderers, said Corvus Korax.
That's like, right.
No.
10 million more Pelennor White Strakes upon the Altmeri Dominion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for our last one, DeRosa Doodles. Vlad and Isabella's relationship in Warhammer Fantasy. It's great to see a man in Warhammer drink his respect woman juice. That's a sick 2017 meme, but thanks for bringing it back. Yeah, they are just a nice, loving couple. That's it.
Mm.
Even when Vlad goes insane, he doesn't do it against Isabella. He goes insane against everyone but Isabella. Sorry, I murdered 10,000 people, honey. My bad.
It's okay, sweetie.
So, if I remember correctly, Eli, did you have an idea for the new question of the week?
I also have one as well.
I had a meme one. I think Colin has a real one.
Mine was if you had to pick a fictional navy to be a captain in, who you picking?
How fictional?
Um,
I'm just saying, like, if
what do you mean by that?
to reference the title of the video, if it's like that, the Navy from the music video, is that like, does that count?
No, it's like
you like can an be established like, IP.
Like you can be, yeah, you can be like a. We'll go admiral. You can be like an admiral of like, you know, the UNSC. Imperial Navy or the UNSC or I don't know. Does Gears of War, do they have a navy?
Is the question too hard to answer? Are there enough navy we know about?
There is a
Gears. More there's Ender's Game. There's Star Wars. Yes,
there's a bunch of different. There's
a bunch of different Star Wars navy.
Mass Effect.
There's a whole lot of different fictional. You can even pick, dude, if you want, ball out and pick like your Stellaris campaign's navy, and explain why you would like to be part of. I don't know whatever monstrosity you're making in Stellaris at this moment. I know those things get a lot more creative with the war crimes than even 40K does.
So I see you in the comments going Star Trek. Star Trek's not a navy technically. It's more like scientists. They don't have a navy. It's cheating. That's cheating. You can't put Star Trek. They're hippies. Like, we can't have guns. We need to have phasers. Like that doesn't count. You need to have aggression in your blood, like a what they called Worf. What's he called? Is he a Vulcan? A Vulcan. I got Warhammer brain.
Yeah. So you can pick all sorts of different navies.
Klingon Empire. I like to eat worms. Yum yum.
What is the hashtag? Hashtag in the Navy. It's right there. There we go.
There we go. Fantastic.
In the Navy.
Are you happy with that, Eli?
Yeah. Eli, please.
There we go.
Fantastic.
And well, now, Andy, why have you not shown my funny reading guide? Come on. Come on.
It's going on in post. Calm down. Calm down. You gotta check out my lit Space Marine 2 gameplay that's on every week. What are you talking about?
We could have live gameplay of Eli poorly playing Hearts of Iron. It could be right here. It could be there.
Bro, please. No, don't. No.
Eli next week being like, hey, this video is sponsored by World of Tonks, and look at this Space Marine Tonk. Wow, Lehman Russ is cool.
No.
Lol. But with that said, fellas, what's your opinion of the Navy? Do you like being in the Navy, or is it not your thing?
I think you did a very good job talking about the Navy. Hell yeah. I would personally like to be a part of the Imperial Navy, if only because purely statistically, right? Got to be like a 90% chance already I'm being one of the barely like the human clans that live in like the lower levels of the ship. Just by pure numbers, it's the odds are stacked against me. But you know, if I guess I could be like, you know, someone on the bridge, that wouldn't be too bad.
Well, to be fair, it seems like I might be, you can disapprove of this, but it feels like to me the Navy might be like one of the best standards of living in the Imperium, which is not saying much, but it's like, hey, you can like, if you're an armsman, which is basically just, you're not an officer, you're just some guy with a gun. You get your free square meals, you get shelter, you get pay, you get shore leave. That's better than most of the Imperium.
If I can be like, have a rank in the Imperial Navy, it wouldn't be too bad, but like playing Rogue Trader, one of the things is you can go into the underbelly of the ship and it's just like, there's a whole lot of people packed like sardines that are just hanging around down there.
But also, let's not forget that Abelard is a Navy veteran. He made his name in the Navy.
If I could be like get a rank, then I'd probably do it if I had to be in 40K. There's definitely way worse jobs. But like, if I'm just one of the scum in the bottom of the ship, then I would like to pass.
Yeah. It'd be cool to be like an armsman or something.
Yeah.
The odds that you're gonna get boarded by anything that terrible is like pretty low generally
most of the time. Yeah, also, they just kind of patrol for pirates.
Yeah,
although I gotta be honest, I think if I was going to be any character in 40K, I'd love to be a breacher. I love breachers. There's something about breachers. I love them. They got bronze armor, they got cool helmets.
The dream would be to be the captain of a ship.
No, I want to be like, I'm going in the gene stealer's heart. Why not?
I want to be a rogue trader.
That's what like, Rogue Trader sound cool, but mate, I want to be a breacher. I want to be like, give him a shield.
I want to be a Tau aircraft.
You want to be a Tau admiral. You want to be a Spindly's hoofed Xenos cowpurse cowfish. Eli wants to be a cowfish.
Cow planes are so cool, man.
Tau fish.
clomp, clomp, said Eli. we love you. But yeah, other than that, oh God, rarest. I've got to put this up. Hold on.
Yes, he does. Thank you, rarest Pepe.
No, that's naughty. It's naughty.
Remember.
But yes, I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. A bit of a shorter one than usual, but it was good fun. Maybe we'll do the Imperialis Aeronautica at some point, though that is going to be probably a short one because it's just planes, isn't it?
Maybe. I can find a way to make it artistic and long.
And if you think Navy doesn't have much lore, enjoy just the planes. we should have... we should have Hal back next week, but Colin will be away. But
we trade one villain for another.
But fun fact, 2 weeks time. Don't miss it. We've got a special guest 2 weeks time. Mm-hmm. Miss it. To, you'll be a silly Billy. You'll be
We're going to eat the CEO of Games Workshop live on. We will gain his
We are
powers.
Erecting a crucifixion. Okay. We have nails and petrol. No. There is a cool guest in a couple of weeks, this time next week, next 2 weeks. So be aware. But other than that, I hope you guys all enjoyed watching this silly Billy Swirry stream. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. I love you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.